It's a very, very mysterious sugya. Malach of Ma'amer, one of the 39 malachos, which one is Chayav on Shabbos, obviously quite a big deal, and yet so much basic mystery as to what it means. And mystery in terms of a sparsity of material in the Talmud, requiring us to try to glean information from other sources and from what's not said, and so many open questions. So what we'll try to do now is, again, recap some of those questions in a little more detail and try to at least call attention to the possible frameworks that could be relevant. And as we said towards the end yesterday, that we think part of the question here is, or part of the set of questions, is what's the focus of this malacha? Is this malacha something that we are doing to the item ha-nemar, if that's the way to say it, the item that is being gathered? Right? We started when we asked our translation question as to what does ma'amir mean? And I got a few different responses, gathering, bundling, collecting, all giving us slightly different points of focus, some of them going to be dependent a little bit on different interpretations in the Rishonim. So what is it that we are acting upon? Are we acting upon this item? So if I gather fruits, am I doing my imur on the fruit itself? Or is it that I am creating something new? I'm creating a bundle, or perhaps I'm adding to a bundle. And it's in that creation that the malacha takes place. And that seems to be a little bit of a broad framework kind of question that affects a lot of the issues. But each one of those questions also subdivides. And I think another question that we want to keep in mind is some of the details that come up, potentially come up. So for example, if we talk about, is there a gedulei karka requirement? Or if we talk about, is there an ochlin requirement? Or the like. So presumably, some of these questions all trace back to following the Mishkan. If we're following the Mishkan, what did they do in the Mishkan? But is that just a technical detail? Or is it that somehow this defines the malacha? The malacha somehow has more understandability because it applies within a certain context. Or because it has a certain limitation. Is this limitation just a consequence of the fact? So for example, if I say you can only have ma'amer with dulei karka, is that just because ma'amer in the Mishkan was the dulei karka, so it's just a condition, that's it. We just have to follow the Mishkan, and the Mishkan is gedulei karka. Or maybe it's more than that. Maybe it's that the definition of ma'amer has something to do with gedulei karka. And yes, that's all derived from Mishkan, but it's more fundamental. It's not just a technicality. It's that gedulei karka tells us something about what ma'amer is in its fundamental sense. So all of these are kind of meta questions which come up as we go through some of the issues that are presented. So, for example, the first basic definitional question that comes up is, does ma'amer require us to create one unit of things together? Or is it enough just to bring things together without connecting them, without joining them? Rashi just has the expression here on Ayin Gimel Beis, ma'asif b'shibolim, bring them together. And the Urayim, the Urayim is a little bit mysterious because the Urayim, and it happens to be, if you look in the Hagos Maimoni, it has almost the exact same language from the Smag, but the language of the Urayim in Rei Shayin Dalet is Kol Kinos Davar Gidulei Karka Nikra Ma'amer. Right, that's called Ma'amer. And by focusing on Gidulei Karka, it seems like he's paskening that that's a requirement, and therefore he doesn't quote the Gemara on Ayin Gimel Beis about collecting salt, because it sounds like gedulei karka is a rejection of that gemara. So he skips that gemara and points to a gemara in Dala in the base, which you haven't really looked at yet, about Haimand Avid Chalsa. We'll get into that later, but the point is he skips the gemara in Gimel base because it seems like it's not a leap of the Hilchus at all, if one follows gedulei karka as a consideration. And then he ends off by saying, Hilkach Yizara Adam Milasov Peros Lakatsan Biyachad, the Havi Kima Amer. So what's he saying there? Is he saying that in order for it to be Ma'amer, you can violate it just by picking up two fruits, a couple of fruits together, and that doesn't necessarily require them to be tied together? Or is that language of Kim Ma'amer significant? Is he saying that that's not Ma'amer because they're not tied together, and it's just something else? Maybe it's some kind of a Derabbanan. So it's a little bit of a vague language. Gil?
Abaya is the one who said that it's only could delay karka.
Right.
So why don't we usually, it's not Yal Kagam?
Well, first of all, the question is, who's the first opinion?
It's not, it doesn't say Rabbah.
So that's a question, it's a Girsolis issue a little bit, is it Rabbah or Rabbah? So just enough to make things more mysterious. And it does seem to be clearly a Machlokes in Rishonim whether or not we follow the second opinion. And everything is just mysterious enough to leave it open to...
According to the ones who say that we do, that we follow the second opinion, they right. just had a different girsa, or they...
In terms of why they're passing like Abaye? Possibly. One, definitely enough grounds to do so. Seems to give you coverage to take whichever view you want to take. So what is the Yireim saying there? It's not 100% clear, but the Rambam has the expression Hilchos Shabbos Chof Aleph Yud Aleph, and Hamad Bikperus Ad Shiyasu Guf Echad Chayiv Mishum Ma'amer. So they have to be brought together into one entity. And then he talks about a Tolda of that later on, or really earlier on, but in a separate place, he talks about a Tolda of that where you stick figs together to make a round cake, and apparently again, you're creating one unit.
People think the Yireim is like the Rambam.
Yireim's a little bit mysterious. Yireim sounds like he's not like the Rambam. The question, what do you mean by Kim Amer?
He also says he's Zayir. Seems right. like that's clearly perhaps saying, but this is something that is not Ma'amer, but...
That language is a little bit less definitive. I think the Kim Amer part is more of a question mark.
No, but I'm saying both of them together. He doesn't say by the other Malachos, he's Zayir. He says this is also, this is
a... Okay, although I... It's hard to draw too much of an inference from that because I think you would say if you thought something was, if you're saying that you can establish from the Yireim always that he never uses Yizar when something is an absolute Isser, then that would be a conclusive proof. But it's if you're putting it together with the fact that he says Shema, could be. Maybe you can also, part of the issue with this Sugi in general is that there's so many possible, debatable exceptions. That anytime somebody says something is not ma'amer, we're not sure why he's saying it. Is he not saying it because it's not kedula karka, because it's not ma'am kedulo, it's not the... So it's just the fact that somebody says it's missing something, we don't know what it's missing. And that's part of why there's so much mystery.
That's mysterious.
Right,
the
right.
The fact that you might think it's... I'm just saying, that's the open question in your
room. Correct, right. So there's a number of mysteries. And then you have the Ma'arach or Zeruah, which you had in the back of Marmakoma, she reported Ma'arach or Zeruah, where he also throws in a lot of fascinating things. We'll come back to some of it later. But one of the things he says there is he thinks it's also a big suffix about whether the definition of the Amr means that you have to bring things together into one unit, or even if you just bring it together without it being one unit, is that also considered to be Ma'amer, and then he goes into the whole question of whether Gedulei Karka is the stock or not, that he also gets involved in. And then he mentions his Netiyah towards the Rambam, that Guf Echad is a consideration, which is also similar where you have in the Shita L'Haran, that it has to be tied together, and the Meiri mentions that, although the Meiri seems to be open to the idea that there's more than one possibility. It's leading some to suggest that it all depends on what the derech is, that maybe there's different types of imur, or maybe there's different ways to bring things together, that some things are tied together and some things are not tied together, and things that are normally tied would have to be tied in order to be ma'amer, and things that aren't wouldn't necessarily be in that same category. Gil?
In the Meiri, when he says, uses like Lashon that it's the place where the quotes are cut, is
right.
that... Dafka there, or Lav Dafka?
So that sounds like it's a Makum Gidulo issue, which is the other, one of the major issues that the Rishon
has. Then it says Vikena Din. So does that mean that Vikena Din on the same level?
Same level.
He first says that it's where the quotes from, and then he says Vikena Din, when you gather things together in general. That, which seems to be not necessarily in the place where it's.
So it could also be that he believes that whole din of Makum Gidulo is itself a Darith issue. That's how some understand that if the derech of something is to be done at Makom Geduo, so then that becomes the consideration. But if you say the derech to do it later, then maybe that also would qualify.
So there's no imor achar imor for
that. So it all depends on what that consideration of Makom Geduo is, which we'll get to a little bit in a second. We'll talk about the Tosfos Rit. Okay. So on the other hand, you have, like, for example, we mentioned yesterday, the Aruch HaShulchan. The Aruch HaShulchan writes that you can be chayiv even if you hold two flutes together in your hand. That's quite a chumra. And others disagree on a couple levels. Others disagree that holding something in your hand is necessarily considered imur. On many levels, that's neither an absolute connection or one that's going to last at all. And then there's also a question whether you can call something gathering if it's only two. Maybe a gathering means a little bit more than two. Maybe it means at least three. So all of these are already open to some significant discussion. Then we talked a little bit about the question of what the shear is. And we mentioned that the shear seems to be a grogris. That's the way the Rambam understands. The Nose Kalim pointing to, once again, that famous Mishnah on Kuf Gimel as the source of everything. And then that's assuming that you want it for Achilu. The Rambam goes on to say that all the different usages are going to define the purpose of what the shear is. That if you want it for the purpose of eating for a person, it's one thing. For eating for an animal, it's another thing. For Hasaka, it's another thing. So that apparently a focus on what gives it its own chashivas, tali on the usage, and that gives it the respective shear. And we mentioned Safik yesterday, Sargo.
Just with the shiurim, when we did it with Kosher, it wasn't just dependent on the shear, it was also if intrinsically the thing was able to be eaten by a person.
Yeah, we get to that, yeah. So the Ochel issue we'll come to in a second. Yeah, that's another major issue. But two sfeikas that come up in terms of the question of the shear, not necessarily what the shear is, but the issue of how the shear is applied. So we mentioned yesterday the Egle Tal, which has a very interesting application. That the Egle Tal says that if you have a less than a shear, let's say you take a chatzi grogris of something and you attach it to a bundle that already exists, the Egle Tal says you're going to be chayiv for that. And Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank has a tshuva, if you want to look it up, it's in Chelek Aleph on page 251, Reish Aleph, where he discusses that that's a very unusual standard, because normally you say that, for example, when it comes to writing, so you have to write two letters. So if you write one letter next to a letter that was already there, you wouldn't say you're chayiv for that. So here, to say that you combine to an existing bundle, and that's called imur, that's a big chiddush. So apparently, this gives us, if this is correct, then that puts the focus not on the item that is being brought to imur, so to speak, but the focus is not on the fruit that is being gathered, but it's on the creation of a gathering, which is a very big focus shift, if you think about it. That maybe the malacha is not about gathering the fruit, but the malacha is about creating a bundle, which also affects the previous question, if we think about it, the question of whether it has to be connected together or not. It has to do a lot with our point of focus. Are we interested in the fruit being gathered? I just use fruit as an example. It could be with any type of produce, at least, if not beyond produce, but let's call it fruit for now. Are we talking about the fruit being gathered? That's what the malacha is. Or talking about creating a bundle, that maybe the significant Shabbos act is the creation of a bundled unit, and that's what we're interested in. So the Egle Tal's Chiddush here seems to focus inordinately, or surprisingly, on the creation of the bundle more than on what's happening to the item that you are picking up. And Jonathan was up first.
So the Egle Tal, when he says, let's say, Chatzishir, an existing bundle, he goes as far as to say, is adding a Chatzishir to Chatzishir, would that be Mamer?
I don't think that's what he's saying, though. I think that, in general, that you could have, so that mentioned a suffix about, in a second, a different type of suffix about that. But that you have with a lot of malachas. If you do two chatzi shears separately on Shabbos, and then coming together, so that's not an unheard of kind of question. But what he's saying here is that you're only doing a chatzi shear. It's just that you are attaching it to something which makes it a full shear. So to go back to the writing example, it's the difference between writing one letter now and writing another letter later. As opposed, and that would be one thing, but here we're talking about writing one letter, and that's all you're writing, but you're writing it next to an existing letter, so you have two letters. And so nobody would say you're chayav for that. And so if I write one letter on Shabbat, that's the only thing I write. If I write it next to an existing letter, so I have two letters. Okay, but that letter was there before. I didn't write two letters. So that's very different than my write one letter now and another letter a half hour later. So here, if the question was, Ma'amer, Achati Grogerus now, and Achati Grogerus later, okay. But that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about your Ma'amer, Achati Grogerus, and that's it. But the Achati Grogerus is attached to a Emor, is attached to a bundle which is larger. So maybe we should argue, and apparently this is what the Agatha is saying, is that the scope of your malacha is not the fruit that you picked up. The scope of the malacha is the bundle that you are creating. And therefore, once you join to an existing bundle, that's all a part of the bundle that's being created by you, which is a big fetish, if you think about it. Sam, you have
So that means even if the bundle was around before Shabbos, and
correct. Okay. Right. So that's the real mechudish big part. Now the Michas Chinuch also has a suffix which is a little more similar to your standard chatzi shir twice questions. What if, let's say you take a chatzi grogerus, let's say in the Rambam's fig cake issue. So let's say you stick together two pieces of a chatzi grogerus, and then you pull them apart and you stick them together again. So now two chatzi grogeruses makes a whole grogerus. So could you be chayav to that? So Michas Chinuch has a suffix about that. Rav Nosson Gishtetner, his sefer on Shabbos and the Tal Nosson, so he thought that maybe this ties into the whole chetzer gavur question we talked about at the very beginning of Shabbos, that here the gavur is doing a whole emor. Two chatzi grogerus is adding up to one. But there's only a chatzi grogerus that's ever been bundled. So maybe it depends on that question. But as he adds on, that this also really ties into the emor after emor question, which we'll get to in a minute. And essentially, if you're going to do the same chatzi grogerus twice, so then you're saying that you could be ma'amr something a second time, which, as we'll see, is itself a big question, itself a very fundamental issue. Sam, is that what you wanted to ask about?
No, I had two questions.
Yes.
Now I have three questions.
No, okay.
The Hart Zvi is arguing that it doesn't have to do with making the creation of the bundle?
He's not arguing, he's explaining what the Gatala is saying and pointing out how surprising it is.
Meaning the chiddush of that Gatala might only be the fact that some people already have a bundle and this is considered creating a new bundle. But really everybody would agree that the malacha is creating a bundle. It's just you already have one, so how can you call that creating a new one?
I'm not sure if everyone would agree with that. I think that's part of
what's the problem with picking up a fruit?
Maybe that's called gathering it. Maybe that's something that brings this fruit to its next stage of development. And just like cutting it off a tree and harvesting
it. Yeah, cutting it off a tree makes it useful.
This brings it to the next stage. And we'll see that there are those who understand that's not what's going on. That maybe this is all a part of our process here of Siddur the Pas, and this brings the fruit to its next stage of development.
Okay. And then, I don't understand, how does this connect? The Talmud, you said, says that it connects to the Chafetz Gavra issue?
The individual was Ma'amar a whole Grogerus, saying half Grogerus twice. But only half the Grogerus was ever inward. So, in terms of the effect on the world, because the same Chatzi Grogerus was done twice. Because the same Chatzi Grogerus happened twice. He did it once, then he took it apart, he did it again.
Right, so that means that you had Chatzi Grogerus, stuck it together, pulled it apart, stuck it together. That means the whole Grogerus is being ma'amar.
Well, let's say the whole thing is a Chatzi Grogerus. I want to keep it simple.
So you had only a Chatzi.
The only reason you have a whole Grogerus here is because you did it twice. You did it once,
took it apart, and did it again. So you had four pieces, and you put two together.
You had two pieces. Put them together, took them apart, put them together again. It's two pieces.
So you did it twice. Only have a chatzi grogerus.
Correct. That's not right. So therefore, what do we look at? Do we look at your action that you did a whole drogris? Or do we look at, the same kind of question comes up when it comes to eating. Let's say, for example, the Gemara has this discussion, chazir v'q, it's a little graphic, right? Somebody eats something and then returns it to the world and then eats it again. So if it was a chatzi zayas, so he ate a whole zayas, but only half a zayas was consumed by him, because it's the same half zayas. So what do we focus on? Do we focus on what he did, or do we focus on what was done? And maybe that's the question. So this gets us into the whole Tosfos Rid issue. And the Tosfos Rid, let's look at it together. What does the Tosfos Rid exactly say? And it's the Tosfos Rid on his comments here on Ayin Gimel Amud Aleph. It's interesting, the Tosfos Rid doesn't have that much directly on the Melachos of Shabbos on the Mishnah. But this is, it's two or three comments on the 39 Melachos. So this is one that he wanted to comment on. Hama'amer, Perish Hamakabes Hashibolim Me'achre HaKotzer Va'osa Oson Omer. Right, so you pick up all these pieces after they were harvested, and you make them into a bundle. The shear hamaamer hu kigrogris, dumi is the kotzer v'tochen. So the grogris is the shear, just like we find by kotzer and tochen. Shekol meleches ha'ochlin kigrogris. V'ikasha, imken yispazru lo peros b'chatzero. Oh, b'sade, let's say, you could ask, that let's say your peros have been scattered in your courtyard or in your field. V'lichtan, yischayev mishum ma'amer. So maybe you might think that will get you in trouble in terms of ma'amer. So why is that a kasha? Maybe taka that is ma'amer. So it's a little bit of a kasha because there are gemaras that maybe sound that's not the case. Sound like there's not going to be ma'amer. So why not? So tshuva ein ma'amer ela b'shas tilishaso min hakarka. So there's no ma'amer except at the time, at the point when it becomes separated from the karka. Shezehu tchilas likuto. Aval perish shilketu kvar v'achshav nispazru ein zeh ma'amer. But peris that were already collected and now have scattered, ein zeh ma'amer. So what exactly do you find? There's a lot of diukim one can make in the Tosfos Rid. How do you interpret the Tosfos Rid? What's the main thrust of what he's saying? If you had to summarize the Tosfos Rid into one sentence, what would it be? Sorry? So that could be a good summary, except it's not what he said. But it could be what he means. And there are those who understand it that way. But what he says, he focuses on specifically b'shas t'lishaso min hakarka, which sounds like it means makom gidulo, right? That it has to be in the place where it's done, except he doesn't say makom, he says shah, which is itself maybe significant. But that he could have associated this with the other Rishonim who say it's got to be in the place of likitus min hakarka. But by saying shah, okay, so maybe he's saying, as some understand it to mean, that it has to be at it has to be also at that time, at that moment, and after that, too late. So if you collected it then it got scattered already, that's not going to be an example of Emor. So there are those who have paraphrased him to say, as Gil said, that maybe he's saying in Emor after Emor. Which, if you want to say it like that, that itself opens up a whole line of inquiry. Why should you say ein imur achar imur? You could say that. Yes, Sammy?
Say there's no longer a tikkun. Whatever tikkun was brought to the world was already brought.
So okay, so if you assume that way,
right?
If you assume, and that's itself a big assumption. If you're saying that that's what the function of imur is, to fix this fruit in a certain direction, and you can only do that once. Right? If we just say ein bishul achar bishul. Or ein tochen acher tochen, we find that principle there. So the basic assumption is that you can't be mevashel something twice, because once you mevashel something, you create a certain effect. And that effect doesn't happen a second time, it's happened once. So you could extend it here, but you're taking a certain stance in what's happening. Right? If the focus is on the bundle that's created, so maybe you can do that twice. Every time I create a new bundle, and if my first bundle was canceled, so then I can create a new bundle, and that should be an act of emor. not at all obvious that that's the case. Right? Jonathan?
Why do we have to say that it's even canceled? If you have, let's say, like 100 apples, and you put them in bundles of 10, and you put those 10 apples into one bundle, so that's not canceled, and that's even more of a tikkun.
So you're saying you could envision an example even without this?
Sure.
Right, so that you could still ask. But even without coming on to that question, let's say it was canceled. Right, so why should I accept the Tosfos Rid's principle that I can't do it twice, I can do it as many times as I can. If I have a building and it gets knocked down and I build it again, it gets knocked down, I build it again. So I did donut three times. Had a bad day. But presumably, it's a bad day on a lot of levels, but presumably that's three separate acts of bonin. You wouldn't say ein bona after bona for a building that was knocked down. You wouldn't even say ein bishel after bishel for liquid that gets cooled down. So if the original action gets undone, you wouldn't say ein bishel after bishel even. So that's an interesting question, whether or not there is any reason to say this. Is this what he means? And is this a significant basis? So if you're interested, and I'll quote from him a little bit more later, and the Tshuvas Dvar Yehoshua we've mentioned in the past, Shlomo Menachem Arenberg, he has a tshuva, a lengthy tshuva, it's in Chelek Beis, in Siman Nun Aleph, where he talks about a lot of issues of Ma'amer. And he himself makes this objection. He gets into this Tosfos Rid. He has his own theory about what exactly he's getting at, which is a little different than the Eglei Tal. We'll see if we get to look at it inside. Otherwise, feel free to take a look at it. But the Eglei Tal has this understanding of the Tosfos Rid, that it's basically an Ein Bishel Achar Bishel type of idea. And he writes to his correspondent, he who made this point, and he says that he thinks that the comparison is not a perfect one. And he writes here, he says, I agree with your hasaga, he says to his correspondent, that to make a principle, ein ma'amer achar ma'amer, doesn't really match bishul achar bishul or tchina achar tchina. The hasam yesh lomer, the hamalach, he should gomer tikkun ha'maichel. But there, what happens is, you complete your malacha through fixing the food. B'mesh mishano some b'riyaso. You change its nature so you've done something different. B'lakach acharei shekhar nishtan b'riyaso idei abishol v'chino shuv les b'malacha b'mashachozer mevashlo otofen. Fine. So all that is true in that case. But here, he goes on to say that for a little while. Mashain came ma'amer. Shein ha'malacha shinui v'guf ha'davar ha'misamer. That there is no difference in that which is being gathered. And the chiyuv seems to come from the bundle that is created. So it would seem like there shouldn't be a difference. Then he goes into talk about this a little bit, and he comes out to understand it a little bit differently. So all of these are fundamental questions, and this Tosfos Rid provokes a lot of other discussions. Just while we have it open, and we'll come back to this point a little bit also. I think it's also worth interesting, it's also interesting and worth attention from a Diyuk point of view, how much focus he puts on the Kotzer relationship, the Tosfos Rid. Right? Mekabe Shibobo Mibi Achare HaKotzer, specifically following Kotzer, and then it's a Grover's Dumya de Kotzer V'Tochen. Right, what he goes on to say, the reason is because Komalachas HaOchlin de Grover's, but again, invoking Kotzer a second time already, may possibly be significant, and that's something hopefully we'll come back to. Hi.
Is it also significant that you mentioned, I mean, would this be another opinion that would hold that Ma'amer is dafka by Ochlim?
Would the Kotzer are connected?
Yeah, like would we say, yes. No, not that. Meaning his lashon of Kol Melech is Ochlim. Right, like some wanted to say in the Rambam. That Ma'amer is only by things that are.
Right, but the Rambam's Chiddush. The Minchas Chinuch Chiddush in the Rambam, which we'll get to in a minute, that it's only Daf Bo'el Chlin. So what's
would the Tosfos Rid agree with that?
Tosfos Rid, not necessarily, but there is some support for it. That his focus on Kotzer, but Kotzer is not specifically by Ochlin. More
in passage to do the character.
So, but that, yeah, I guess so. Except he's not the first one to say that either. Although maybe the Rambam is, so it's the Rambam which also perhaps. So maybe you're right. Maybe it does connect. Yes, sir.
Was the Eglei Tal kind of veering away from the person based malacha with that you can add on to something and create a bundle? Because the bundle is in the world, but the person is saying that.
Not necessarily, because he could say that you are creating a bundle. So we look at what was created. Right? That was how we understood the whole person theory also, that there are those two parts. That is, you have to be doing it, but still we look at what you are doing based on its effect on the world. So it's a combination of the two. Yeah, it's you who has to make the bundle, but we look at the world to see what the bundle is.
Within these sheetahs, like the Rosh Hashanah, when we talk about making the bundle, does that mean that you're doing some sort of tying, or even just putting it together, we're calling that a bundle?
What he's saying doesn't necessarily take a stand on that issue.
Because if you're not actually doing anything to make it a bundle, and he's saying that there's no change in the chayvetz, so is it?
I think you're probably right if you want to push in the direction that it seems indicated more that there should be something to connect it.
Right, because also then we talk about Otsa as being
Lachru because of that, and that's going to come up here also. So I think you're right that it does tilt more in that direction that you should actually do something to it. So if you want to extrapolate this Tosu's Rid to say that it really doesn't mean that it has to be at the time of Tlisha specifically, but that it means that you don't do Ma'amer twice, so that's a possible suggestion in the Shulchan Aruch. You saw, I think, put this on the Ma'amer Komos. That the Rambam talks about the situation where you put the figs together to make a fig cake. So there are those who argue, what about makom b'galoso? And it doesn't mean, doesn't seem to fit. You're doing this in the field? Presumably not, you're probably doing this in your kitchen. I mean, you could say that you're doing it in the field. Unlikely. So it could be the Rambam doesn't agree with, let's say, Makom Gidula. Right, the Kesef Mishnah quotes the Ramah, but invokes it. He could be arguing with the Rambam. Yes, sir?
Even in the case of the salt, where it's not Gidula, it's the place where it was formed. It's like the salt.
Correct. The salt not necessarily right against Makom Gidula. Gemara thinks it's a right against Gidula Karka, but not necessarily against Makom Gidula. So maybe the Rambam maybe doesn't hold from the whole Makom Gidula issue. Because the Rambam has this idea of putting together figs into a cake. Presumably that's not where they grew. So you could say the Rambam doesn't accept it. But the problem is the Shulchan Aruch accepts both. Shulchan Aruch quotes that thing of the Rambam. And he also says that you only have Ma'amer and Makom Gidula. So what does that mean? He's talking about a case only where you went out into the forest and you went out into the field and you made these fig cakes over there by the tree? Very unlikely. So that's the question a lot of the Achronim bring up. So some suggest that really what the Tosfos Rid is saying, and putting the Shas Lishaso together with Makom Gidula, is that it's his way of interpreting this whole idea as saying it's an Imur Achar Imur thing. It doesn't really mean that it always has to be in the place of Gidula. But it means that you don't do Imur twice. So this type of Ma'amer where you pick everything up, that only happens at the place where it fell from the tree. But the other, this Toldo of Ma'amer that the Rambam talks about, where you stick together figs to make a cake, so that happens when you do it the first time and doesn't necessarily have to be Makom Gidula. Maybe that's what the Shulchan Aruch means. The Rambam maybe doesn't agree with the whole Makom Gidula thing himself, but the Shulchan Aruch, who does, brings down both, maybe that's what you have to say in the Shulchan Aruch. Hi.
I mean, it just seems kind of like, I don't know if there's a better solution, but it just seems so malpractious of what the Makom Gidula means.
Right, so then you have to deal with the, so for the Rambam, you can accept that. You accept it, that you have to have a better definition or just reject the whole thing, as maybe he does. But what do you do with the Shulchan Aruch? That's the problem. Right. Unless you want to say that the Shulchan Aruch holds the difference between an Avin and Tolda that way, maybe. That maybe the Makom Gidula. Sorry?
Isn't what we're just selling?
No, not specifically. Not that it was because of the Tolda, it's just a different type of Imur. That the Imur that happens, that it means that whatever is the initial Imur, it can only happen once. So the initial Imur of gathering stuff off of the ground, so that can only happen at the ground. But this type of Imur of combining them into a cake, so even if you were to call that an av, maybe that only happens when you do it the first time. But maybe especially since it's a tovla, maybe it has a different standard. Okay, the question over here? Okay, Jonathan?
Even if we say like that, there's still the Isur D'oraisa. We say that there's, if the Rosh Hashanah talk about there's no Imur, and it's not Makom Gidula, I mean, it seems like it's not Imur. You're still Imur D'oraisa, just a tovla.
Correct. So You're saying right. So then, I hear your point. You're saying that if that were the issue, then it would seem to have it would be less than a. It would be a total. The total would be too high of a level for it to be. So you have to really say the focus in the first part of the equation that this type of emor, really what makom gelaso means, is ein emor acher emor. You only have one initial emor, and that there's two different types of emor going on. There's the picking up from the field, and there's the clumping together of the cake. And that's a whole new project that never happened before. But it is difficult otherwise. Okay, so Lamaisa, the Rishonim do differ on this question of Gidulei Karka. So it is in addition to Makom Gedulo, Gidulei Karka is also a Machlokes. And as we saw, it's hard to know from the Gemara what rule of fact to follow, because we have Abaye against Tamar. So Rabbeinu Chanan al-Paskin is like Abaye, as does the Rambam, that they need more elephant to the Karka, but Yor Zarua and the Yor Beis Yosef hold that even that particular Karka, you even have Ma'amir where it's not particular Karka, which also could then point us in different directions. What are we interested in focusing on? Are we interested in what is being created? Or is this considered to be a certain step in the process of harvesting, which maybe is limited to a Gedulei Karka question? But then, that also provokes an open question. We'll take Avram's question in a second. That, and this is something some of the Svarim ask, okay, so we see Gedulei Karka coming up with Disha. Okay, so it's a machlokas in the Gemara also, but it's a machlokas Tanoim really, when it comes to Disha. And we saw that we talked about Tzira last week. There's a whole question whether it's Gedulei Karka or not. So how do we decide when to have these questions? So is it all based on the Mishkan? So then let's have one big process and let everything be the same question. Or is it something more fundamental about the nature of the Malacha, which gives each Malacha its own question as to whether it's going to be Gedulei Karka? Why don't we just have one big Machlokas about all these Malachas? Are they Gedulei Karka dependent or not? The machlokesim don't seem to correspond. Disha is machlokes tanoim, and ma'amer is a machlokes amoroim in the Gemara, machlokes rishonim and paskin. But why don't these issues correspond more? So maybe then it has to do with the question about what this issue is. Is it a nature of a malacha type question? Is it a mishkan derivation question? Or is it something else? So this is also one of the things that gets focused upon. The Gavin was up first.
Which we shown you hold like whom?
In terms of Gedulei Karka?
Yes.
So Rabbeinu Chananel paskins like Abaye, but it has to be Gedulei Karka. The Rambam paskins like that. Mm-hmm. We saw that the Iranian paskins like that, and others. But Yor Zarua and the Beis Yosef paskin, that doesn't have to be Gedulei Karka.
In terms of the Rambam paskin, that it has to be Gedulei Karka, mm-hmm. So the Shulchan Aruch quotes basically the Rambam, but instead of saying like the Rambam does Ein Lasar, he says Asar. So what's the Shulchan Aruch saying? That does also mean that it's a Doraisa?
It says Asar on what? Asar?
On the salt.
On salt. Right.
But
so then
the Rambam says Ein Lasar. So it seems like it's Darabon on the Rambam, but he uses a different wording. Does that mean it's a Doraisa?
I think they could both be Darabon.
Asar would also be Darabon?
In the Russian Gemara, it could be Yepater Avalasar. So Pater and Pasar, that's a Darabon.
So the Shulchan Aruch is also holding the salt.
Presumably, yeah.
You know, he said that possible machlokas between whether paskin like Abaye or about Gedulei Karka or not was a question of focus. What was
the?
What did he say about that?
So what is this whole Gedulei Karka question in general that we've seen now a couple of times? And so why does it not? Why don't we just have one big machlokas and save our time? Let's say the machlokas. Of Shabbos, of the Machlokas of Sidur the Pas. Do they need Gedulei Karka or not? Right. Why are they independent Machlokas? So you could ask it in a number of ways. You could say that maybe it shows that these Machlokas are not Mishkan issues, but they are specific Malacha issues. Or maybe the question is that question itself, is it a Mishkan issue? Or, and we haven't said this yet, but we'll see. Maybe the question is, how do the malachas relate to each other? So maybe Disha has a certain context to it, and we want to know, does Kotzer relate to Disha in a certain way, as we discussed last time? Or does Ma'amir relate to Disha in a certain way? or does it relate to kotzer in a certain way, like we just started talking about from the Tosfos here? So this Gedulei Karka question could spiral off into any number of different directions, and it could all be relevant. So then, as we started to say yesterday, and it was brought up a couple times over here, that there is the shita that the Menchas Chinuch reads into the Rambam, that it only applies to foodstuffs, to ochel. And the Menchas Chinuch said this because he had a couple of points of view that the one point was that the Rambam says, Hama'amer ochlin, im la'achila shirin begrovers, something like that. That if you are being ma'amer ochlin, then the shir, if you're doing it for achila, is such and such. So it sounds redundant. Why do you have achila there twice? So the Menchas Chinuch understood that it's to make the point that maybe ma'amer only applies in the context of ochlin, according to the Rambam. And that he had this major diuk also in Rashi, major in the sense of maybe a little bit overblown, but that Rashi, when the Gemara talks on Daf Sadi Vav about what was the Isser of the Makoshi Shaitzin, big question, at least just in terms of understanding the Psukim, and in terms of understanding a major story in Chumash. So this most famous incident of Chil Shabbos, so what in the world did he do? So you say Makoshi Shaitzin, so we don't even know exactly how to translate that. It sounds like it means he was gathering wood. And the Gemara has a couple of opinions what he was doing wrong. Was it an act of tolesh? Was it an act of carrying? And the third opinion in the Gemara is maybe what would have been the first one if you translate Makoshesh's gathering, is Ma'amer. So Rashi explains that position. Yeah, Ma'amer, like the Gemara says, and in Gimel Bay is the whole story about gathering the salt. So what are you talking about, says Menchas Chinuch. Why don't you just point to the Mishnah, the Malach of Ma'amer. Why are you emphasizing the salt gathering? So he suggests, because Rashi is trying to tell you a Chiddush, that according to him, it applies even when it's not food. Because Rashi, by the way, I didn't tell you yesterday what it was, so Rashi in Bava Basra and Dav Chaf, it says that melach, salt, is not considered to be food. So Rashi L'Shitaso is quoting the Gemara about salt to say that Ma'amir applies even if it's not food. And therefore it can apply to wood, and that's what the Makoshi Shaitzin is guilty of. Hi.
We go through the different shurim that one's chayav for from Ma'amir.
Mm-hmm.
So they're not all food.
They're not all used for food, but they could all be food stuff. Right? It talks about eating it yourself, an animal eating it, or cooking with it. Right, it could be they're using food for fuel.
But the whole, I thought the whole idea was, for when we did kotzer, that if it's fit to be eaten, then it's the shear for eating, it's not the shear for cooking.
Maybe not, that's not necessarily always the case. It could be that if you're using it for the purposes of cooking with, it's going to be viewed in that sense.
Is there a toast out there?
It's possible, but it's not necessarily the whole story. So too here, when it comes to, that's what he's asserting within the Rambam, but the Rambam holds that it has to be food stuff to begin with. So and that's what Rashi is coming to say differently. The Rashi is saying that, oh, look at the Melach example, you see, even when it's not food. So that's a big deal. But Nosson Gestetner, in his Tal Nosson, has a very fascinating discussion. It goes through a lot of psukim, and maybe we'll talk about it a little bit more tomorrow, because it's very hard to ignore the synergy, because one of the psukim is in Rishon of Parshas Vayeshev. I mean, just a synergy like that, you can't argue with. So we'll have to save that reference for tomorrow. But he points out from various usages, what does the word Makoshesh mean? So he thinks that the hesitancy to say that Makoshesh Yitzim was Ma'amer is that they really refer to two different stages. That maybe Makoshesh means the initial picking something up, and Ma'amer means bundling something together. And that really they're two different things, and they're really two different points of the process. And Makoshesh is not Ma'amer, even if we use maybe the same English word for both. But he brings rayas from Targumim and from Rashi's, that these are the way the two words are meant to be interpreted. So you could have thought that if you don't bundle it together, maybe it's not Ma'amer, as we saw that was Machlokes Rishonim to begin with. So, and if the Torah uses the word Makoshesh, Maybe it's suggesting that he wasn't bundling them together. That's what Mekoshesh means. So then he suggests that maybe it's what Rashi is telling you. Rashi says, look to the salt example, because the salt example, you can't bundle salt together. So in the Mela, you can have Ma'amer even without bundling it. That's why you can have an opinion in the Gemara that the Mekoshesh Eitzim was in violation of Ma'amer. Maybe that's enough of a Chiddush. Sammy, I'm sorry, what did you want to say?
Good.
Okay. So if you look, by the way, so then there are a couple of other potential chidushim here. If you look at Rabbeinu Chananel, a very surprising Rabbeinu Chananel, I'll put it on the Mar Makomos. I don't know how many people noticed it. So the find it here, the Rabbeinu Chananel gets published in different places in different versions. So in my Gemara, it's an Ayin Dalet Amud Aleph. So what's the big chiddush Rabbeinu Chananel says, it seems to say about Ma'amer? The what? Oh, so what about the Dalet Amud?
It's not Ma'amer if you do it.
Right, it's a big chiddush, right? So Kamalon Kabaye, as we just mentioned before, Damar Eini Mor Lo Bilei Karka, Eino Chayev Ela Kisha Ma'amer, or maybe it says Kisha Mavir. My Gemara has it with parentheses and brackets. Dalet Amos for Shosarava. So it sounds like he just innovated a very big chiddush in Ma'amer that has to be over the scope of Dalet Amos. That's a pretty big chiddush. So there is a whole discussion about that, as you can imagine. Chumas Dvar Yehoshua, he understands that the Rabbeinu Chananel is actually not talking about Ma'amer, he's talking about carrying. He's talking about that there's also potentially a Mulacha of Havara here. However, you might say that maybe there's no Havara because maybe you don't intend to really do Havara. You're not interested in getting things from point A to point B. You're just interested in bundling them up. So maybe you should consider, let's say, a Mulacha Shenesuch Lagufa as far as the Havara. So it says the Chiddush is that if you're trying to be Ma'amer, then you're also Chayef for Mavir if you do it more than Dalet Amos. Others suggest that maybe it doesn't mean you have to actually pass Dalet Amos. It means, you know, you reach over this way, you reach over that way, over the scope of Dalet Amos, the Yechayev, and it is a Ma'amer definition. Some point to the idea, based on other Gemaras, that for something to be considered mispazer, for something to be considered spread out, it has to be spread out over a space of at least Dalet Amos. So maybe undoing the Pizur means bringing it together within the Dalet Amos. So there's a lot of commentary spurred by that, but that's a big chiddush, this idea there's some kind of Dalet Amos connection, which Bar Yeshua is challenging. He said that's only a reference really to carrying. That's a pretty big chiddush. Right.
So within the understanding that it's defining, let's say, a minimum distance that you need for Ma'amer, so let's say you have like five objects, each one Amma away, mm-hmm. So if you do them all one Amma next to each other, would any of them be considered over Dalet Amos, even the two furthest ones would be?
Maybe, man. Maybe the whole process is happening over.
Even though each of them were within.
It's one, each one of them in different directions?
So you have, no, like a straight line, let's say. So for each bundle, you're not going without Dalet Amos, but by the time you did the first one and the last one, that was more than Dalet Amos.
Yeah, I think you would call that. That would be considered over the course of Dalet Amos. That's maybe exactly what we're talking about. Yeah. There is also a discussion, which we alluded to a little bit yesterday, the question of whether it has to be specifically one type of item that's being brought together, or what if you're bringing together different things, and therefore they maintain independent identities. So that's still called Imur. We discussed that there is a discussion about the Dalet Minyan, why we don't seem to find an issue of Ma'amer there, whether we talk about bundling it or not bundling it, but it doesn't seem to even be brought up. And there are those who suggest that because the Dalet Minyan, even if they were tied together or oriented, would still maintain independent identities even as part of that bundle, that maybe that itself wouldn't be considered an act of Ma'amer. So it's a discussion in general whether potentially you can have Ma'amer when you have different substances brought together or different types brought together. Rav Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva, and we'll talk about this a little bit more on Sunday, when he talks about, gives an interesting perspective in it also about whether there's ma'amer if you make a flower arrangement on Shabbos. And we'll talk a little bit more about that on Sunday. But the angle that he focuses on is that maybe there you're not trying to bring them together except for aesthetic purposes. And maybe that's not already considered to be ma'amer. But he doesn't seem to be bothered by the fact that they're different flowers and they could be different species. So again, we'll get into that. Sorry?
It's still a flower.
Correct, but you're saying therefore it's be so means a different dalet minim or also different types of...
No, each one is totally different, meaning it's not...
You don't have enough appreciation for flowers if you think they're all the same.
I mean, there's a major difference between a lulav branch and a hadas.
You don't think there's a major difference between a tulip and a rose?
They look very similar. I mean, they both have the same stem, they just have a little bit of a different head, that's all.
Yeah, there's a big
difference.
I know what I'm saying, but...
Botanically,
they're different.
Yeah, fine, but I'm saying they look very similar. You know, their whole structure is very similar. But the lulav and the hadas, they're not similar at all.
I'm not sure why there's any halachic difference between a lulav and a hadas and different types of flowers.
No, I'm just saying, meaning you're saying that they're different meaning. I'm saying they're not. They're basically the same thing.
How are different flowers the same thing and the hadas and the rubbers?
They do the same things.
They look the same.
Little.
Basically.
Yeah, I don't think you've done a lot.
Except for the head, I'm saying, look,
one is a branch and one is a branch, and they know the flower and they know the flower.
Yeah, they really have as much in common as the different types of.
I think they're totally like an esrog and a lulav.
That's a fruit.
Yes,
that's
what you
understand. That's one of the means that you have a problem.
Right, because
the
ma'amer plants on fruit. That's what it is.
Yeah, I think they do seem pretty comparable. I hear your perspective, but I think they do seem to be pretty parallel types of questions. The Meiri, also on Gimel Beis, if you had a chance to look, is on the Ma'amar Komlos. The Meiri has yet another major chiddush here. And the Meiri says that you need kavana in order for it to be ma'amar. And you saw that? And, yes, sir?
Is it clear that he needs kavana?
No, there's a little bit of a girsa issue, right? It has kivun, and then the footnotes say it even said something else, so it's mysterious, Meiri. But that's how he's read, as meaning kavana. Otherwise, I don't know what he means, mean direction. You know, kibun is in kimus.
Yeah, like
that's hard to say.
Some things that actually need to be brought together, like wheat need to be brought together with apples.
But how are you translating the word? It means to say kimus?
Tikkun.
That's also.
That's why the footnote does it.
Right. I thought the footnote means that's the tikkun of the word.
Oh.
Yeah, I think that's where you're going.
That's embarrassing.
No, I mean, it could be both. That's interesting because it could come out to be either. Maybe that's what the tikkun is.
Why is it different than any other malacha, though?
Oh, so I think, it's a discussion about what he means, because you could say in general, and this is something the Sfarim discuss, that if I'm moving things into a pile, not because I want the pile, but because I want it out of the space, I need the floor. So you would probably say it's Malach Shinsir Thulagufa. And it probably would be. But maybe the Meiri is saying more than that. Maybe this is like a Zomer of the Tzarech Leitzim kind of issue, that maybe even Rabbi Yehuda would agree that that's not called Imur. That Imur requires a certain positivity of intent and desire for it to be considered Imur. Hi.
Can you just disagree with this because you didn't give that answer? Like why it's not my room if I have to put it on the table?
Assuming that's relevant. If you're saying that your purpose there is to clear space, is that what it means?
You just said you have a lot to do.
But you do. You have intention to put it all on the table like that.
You don't want to do the malacha.
But the fact that the malacha is, if the malacha is bringing them all together into one place, so the Meiri's focus could be that you're not interested in having them together in one place. You're interested in having the floor, let's say. The Meiri's also vague, but we're assuming that's what the Meiri is talking about. So then that's a negative focus completely.
That's like any malacha. So it's different. That's a malacha.
Right, but then we're saying that maybe this is like a Zomer v'Tzarech Leitzim kind of situation. Where even, let's say, Rabbi Yehuda would agree that it's not the definition of the malacha, that maybe it's even more fundamental than the malacha shenishuch l'gufa issue, that maybe the malacha is defined by wanting the pile. And if you don't want the pile, maybe it's not a malacha at all. So all of this, it's interesting. There's a fascinating comment that the Dvar Yeshua has, which could lead us to another fascinating comment, and which could then hopefully lead us to some direction here as we come close to running out of time. That Dvar Yeshua in the beginning of his tshuva, so he defends the Menchas Chinuch on the Rambam. Menchasinuch's theory that it's all about Ochlin. So Dvar Yeshua defends that. And he says to his correspondent, says, you might say that, oh, I have a kasha on the Rambam, because in the Mishkan, so if we assume that the Ma'amir done in the Mishkan was on, let's say, the Samlanim, was done with the vegetation for the dyes, so maybe that wasn't edible. Maybe that wasn't food. So he says, first of all, Mehechi Pesim. Maybe it was edible. And he gets into a whole detailed discussion about maybe it was edible. But then he goes on to say, and this is an important yisod, he says, even if only one of them was edible, that's enough. Now you'll say, wait a minute. Why is that enough? If only one of them was edible, it means that the other things that were being ma'amir were not edible. Meaning what? Meaning that there was ma'amir going on in the Mishkan on non-edible substances. So why should we say the ma'amir derived from the Mishkan is only on edible substances? So he goes on to say that not everything done in the Mishkan is a av malacha. Right? Everything done in the Mishkan, that's the Gemara already says that, right? The Gemara of Kama says that possibly, that the Mishkan has to be Mishkan Chashiva, right? If you assume that that's the way you read the Gemara. So he says it has to not only be in the Mishkan, but it had to be Chashiv. Chazal had a way of figuring out what was Chashiv. So apparently the Ma'amir of non-edible substances is not significant. And the Ma'amir of edible substances, that's significant. So the part that made it into the malacha list was just the ma'amer of edible things. A fascinating idea.
Include melach in that?
Sorry?
Include salt in that?
Not necessarily. With melach, you don't know exactly how it fits in. The Gemara is a little bit ambiguous about it. So this relates a little bit to another fascinating discussion. If you have this edition of the Tosfos Rid, Tosfos Rid has footnotes here from Rabbi Nissen Zaks. So on the Tosfos Rid's comment that we've mentioned so far, so we mentioned it's quite a significant statement, but you may not realize that it leads to an 8-page footnote in this version. So in this 8-page footnote, he has an extensive essay, I assume written by this Rabbi Nissen Zaks, about what exactly is going on with Ma'amer. Let's talk about everything from Ma'amer working off the basis of this Tosfos Rid. And he says that essentially the Rishonim had a hard time with Ma'amer. The Rishonim felt that Ma'amer is, you know, like us, we've had a hard time with it, we found it mysterious. So the Rishonim felt that Ma'amer essentially, I gotta say it like this, but that basically it could have been a Malacha Geruah. That Ma'amer is very vague in terms of what you're accomplishing. This is the footnotes in the Tosfos Rid, or Nissen Zaks. Is that essentially it doesn't seem like Ma'amir is a chashuv act. It doesn't seem like it's an act of significance. And therefore, the Rishonim struggled to define it in a more precise way in order to find a way that it would be chashuv, in order to give it significance. Hi.
We see that Ma'amir at least has is Logan and other places in Halakha also by Israel and things like that.
Right, and that's also fascinating, by the way. We didn't get into this so much, but the Gemara in Beitza talks about how they could have different definitions. Right? Because the Gemara talks about what you're referring to, the fact that when it's considered to be gathered, affects for its kriya shem for Meiser, for example, and the Gemara says that it could be one thing for that and another thing for Shabbos, that maybe there are different rules.
I'm saying, meaning we at least see that to call it a malach kruah. I mean, this Maisa is the same, when exactly.
See, it depends what, because if we focus its definition within a certain context, then maybe yes. But if we just say gathering things as a malacha, then it seems very loose. It seems, or the opposite of loose, but it seems, no pun intended, very loose. It seems that it's very undefined and very abstract, and like it needs something more. So he said, this is why you find Rishonim, let's say, 6 different ways coming up with Chidushim to give Ma'amir a little bit more focus. So you have the Rishonim who say that it has to be Makom Gidul. That's one of them. Then you have the Rishonim who say that it has to be... Hi, question about that?
So, the reason to that Kutsah was Makom Gidul is because you're just taking something from one place and moving it to another.
Right.
You're not doing anything to it.
Correct.
So if we say that you know, the mamar is also just moving it from one place to another without, you know, bundling it or connecting it in any way, then it would be like very similar to Otsari.
Right, that's part of that seems to be the base of this question, that it seems to be so minor, whatever is happening, that we need to at least push it in some focused direction to find that it's closer to being something. So he notes, essentially we've seen so far, say five or six issues that Rishonim have brought up to try to locate it within a certain context. Either it has to be Davka Makom Gidulo, right, that's what gives it Melacha, because that's its core act of being collected, or that you have to tie it down. Tying it down gives it an actual action, or the Chiddush of Rabbeinu Chananel, that you have to actually move it Dalet Amos. Again, a very surprising Chiddush that maybe gives it more Chashivas, or that the Tosfos Rid's idea that you have to be specifically the Ma'amer that follows the act of Katsira, and that this is the Derech of Katsira to be followed up by Dimur. Or the Das and the Meiri, which actually is Meforshim in the Meiri, that you have to have Kavana, that it has to be done with this specific intent. Or also the Marach or Zarua, which is an extended version of that, where he mentions that it has to be Letzora HaOmrim, that if you have the desire even to have everything in one place, but not because you want the bundle, but because you could just then do things more quickly because everything's together. Let's say firewood on Yantif, he talks about. So he says also that wouldn't be Ma'amer if it's just for that technical benefit. So all of these, he says, are basically attempts to give chashivas to a malacha that otherwise might not be chashiv. And that seems to be the thread throughout all of this that all of these Rishonim are searching for. Then he goes on to suggest within the Rambam specifically, and that this gets into the whole Gedulei Karka issue as well, that maybe what the Rambam believes is that Ma'amer is defined as an Av as being the preparation for Gisha. That maybe it's all part of that process, and that's where some of the other questions fall into place. That in order for it to be an Av, it has to be within the context of preparing it for Gisha. That's the way it was done in the Mishkan. So, for example, the question that was brought up yesterday, why the fig cake, which really seems to be absolute Ma'amir, why is that a Tolva? You could have said that it really follows all the rules for being complete Ma'amir. So it seems to be that maybe it's a Tolva because it's outside the context of the normal preparation that leads towards Gisha. He points out, by the way, the Rambam, which seemed to be a Chiddush of his own, the Rambam is based on the Yerushalmi, which also sees it as a Tolva. And that's probably the idea, that he sees all of these requirements, whatever requirements the Rambam does acknowledge, as being a part of a Disha preparation. Alternatively, there's some other svarim that suggest this, a contemporary sefer that works along these lines, just comes at it from a different direction, that we could explain many of the quirks, or potential quirks within Ma'amer, as being a function of Tzira. That maybe that's what's going on, that this is the end of the Tzira process, that maybe Tzira is supplemented, is enhanced by Nimor. First you harvest, then you gather it up. And therefore, so for example, to focus on Gedulei Karka, it makes sense if we assume Katsira requires Gedulei Karka, itself a discussion, as we saw last week, but a valid position to take. So then it could be that all of these considerations are there, seeing it as a completion of the act of Kotsir. Think Sam was up first?
And just, if it's an issue of preparation for Disha, so then why wouldn't putting it in the basket be just as good?
So maybe that's not right. So then maybe that's not considered to be the full step. Maybe it doesn't follow the full model. You do Disha when it's all clumped together, and then you process it.
Right. So you put maybe it in the thing on the way to.
Yeah, maybe that's not the full preparation. The preparation has this absolute form. You said the Rambam is usually broader in his understanding.
Yeah,
of
meaning with the whole, his whole understanding of tools. Yeah, so anyways.
I hear it. It's a fair question. But Nachanami, that's the way he understands it. Maybe that's what's going on. So you take either of these views. You could take Disha or Katsira as partners with Imur, and one could suggest that either of them define some of these issues that have come to typify quirks, potential quirks of the Imur process.
You say also it's on the following malacha of Disha. Does that mean that something that's not roi for disha, there was no such thing as mamir.
Well, that's also, for example, the bilei karka. Yeah, Ochlin, all these issues, you know, if you assume these limitations are there by Disha, that could explain why one might say the limitations apply by Mamer, exactly that. Yeah.
Even within Ochlin, though, like berries, it's done, you take a berry operation.
So, a question whether the specific part, I don't know if that's necessarily the case, there's no potential Disha there, but you could say that as long as halachically there could be Disha, you know, it fits into the category where the Disha is a possibility, so then Mamer could be a possibility. So all of these have major ramifications, and some of the practical halachic ramifications we'll talk about a little bit on Sunday. But everyone more or less follow what we spoke about today? There's a lot of details. Let's just quickly recap. So we spoke about basically these questions to have in mind, whether Ma'amir is focused on the object being obtained, or whether it's a focus on the creation of a new bundle. We talked about some of the broad questions which have a Mishkan relationship, the question of whether it's a Mishkan derivation issue in general, whether it's something about the specific malacha that is being asked, or whether it's a third possibility, it's a relationship of this malacha to a different malacha, which may have those requirements. And then we talked about some of the potential issues that come up, the question of whether or not it needs to be tied together, the question of the shear, which is not so much a question, but some details of the shear. For example, if you combine it with a pre-existing bundle, is that considered to be a malacha? The question, if you do the same shear, half shear twice, does it add up or not? That's itself a question. We talked about whether or not there's a requirement of makom kidulo, apparently a machlokes rishonim. We talked about the question of the Tosfos Rid's view, and what exactly we can read into the Tosfos Rid, much discussion about that. Is he saying the Yisod of Ein Imur Alfa Imur? Possibly he is. We've talked about the question of whether we pass him, it requires a Bilei Karka, it comes out to be a Machlokes Rishonim. The question of Mechas Chinuch Diyak in the Rambam, that is specifically with Ochlin, and his Diyak and Rashi, that Rashi disagrees, and we mentioned with Nachum Shtetner is reading Rashi differently, that Rashi's coming to tell you the Chiddush that applies even if it's not tied together, and then we'll come back to that tomorrow, because one of his writings is from the first Aliyah of Vayeshev, and we can't ignore the synergy, which is too tempting. We talked about the Rebbeinu Chananel, that it requires a passing over Dalai Lamas. We mentioned other ways of reading the Rebbeinu Chananel, that it's only referring to a potential violation of Ma'avir at the same time, but also possible Ma'amir implications. We talked about whether it applies if there are different species being brought together or not. And we talked about the Yesh Meforshim and Meiri, that you have to have Kavanah for the purposes of Ma'amer, and how that might be even more than a Malacha Shein Shuf Gufa issue. And then we talked about the Bar Yeshua's point, the very Mechudish idea, that even though the Samamonim were not necessarily all food, and therefore means there was Ma'amer in the Mishkan for non-food items, the Rambam could still be right, because maybe only the Ma'amer for food is considered Chashiv. And Chashivus is the theme of the essay of Rav Nissen Zaks in the footnotes to the Tosfos Rid, where he suggests that all the Rishonim here are struggling with the question of how to give Chashivus to a Malacha that doesn't seem to be so Chashiv, and coming up there with six possible Chidushim to do that, requiring Mokum Gedulo, possibly Kshira, possibly Dalaramis, possibly Mokum Tzira, following Tzira, possibly Kavana, and possibly that you should require the Imur itself for its bundle's purpose and not just for convenience purposes. And then we also mentioned that the other theories, one from him and one from someone else, that it could be that all of the details that come up in Ma'amer are a function of it being partnered with another Malacha, either a function of it being partnered with Tzira, and that could explain some of the details, or it's a preparation for Disha, and therefore it may have certain overlaps with Disha, and therefore also maybe it has to be a preparation for Disha in order for it to be an Av, and that's where the Rambam, really based on Yerushalmi, gets the idea that the fig cakes would be a Tolda, even though they otherwise seem to fit all the requirements to be an Av. Okay, I hope that is clear. If not, please feel free to come with any questions. And God willing, tomorrow we will continue the theme of the Amir as we read the first Aliyah of Vayeshev.